When asked what parents want for their children, one of the most common phrases is, "I just want my kids to be happy." All of us want happiness, not only for ourselves, but for the people that we care about. But as much as we want happiness, it seems like we or those we care about don't always have enough of it. I think if we took a poll and asked, who here feels like they are too happy? No hands would go up. All of us, to some degree or another, wish we were happier. But why, if happiness is something that we all want, why is it something that we all struggle with so often? The reason is because most of us seek something called conditional happiness. We believe that we become happy because we get control over our circumstances, and we make them, those circumstances, favorable to us. All of us have a certain idea, a certain vision for our life, that in order for us to be happy, we need to have certain things. Sometimes they're material things, but other times they're spiritual and emotional things. Other times our happiness doesn't even have to do with us. It has to do with someone we care about. Often, if someone we care about or love is unhappy, that affects our happiness a great deal. Conditional happiness can be found all around us. I remember when I was in seminary, I worked as a waiter in a Cajun seafood restaurant. Now, Cajun seafood is a type of southern-style cooking typically found in places like Louisiana. And our restaurant was famous for being one of the few restaurants in the Chicagoland area that made good Cajun seafood. And so we would have people come from all over saying all sorts of compliments like, "This food is just like my grandma used to make it," or, "This is the food that I remember them cooking back home." People loved it. And perhaps one of our most popular items wasn't a food, but was actually a drink. It was a frozen, kind of mixed margarita drink called a Swamp Thing. And Swamp Thing had 7 different layers of alcohol and margarita and raspberry and cherry, and it had one of those pineapple umbrellas on top. You know the drink, right? And this drink was very popular, but also very expensive, something like $10. But as expensive as it was, we regularly sold out of the ingredients needed to make it. And I remember one particular evening I was working, and it was very, very busy, and like before, we had ran out of the ingredients necessary to make the Swamp Thing, and so I had to tell people when they ordered it that we were all out of it. And I remember one particular night, this lady came in, and she was with a bunch of friends, and they had presents, and they had a cake, and it was clearly one of their birthdays. And I ran around, and I took everyone's order, and finally I got to the woman whose birthday it was, and I said, "What would you like to drink?" And she said very proudly and excitedly, "I want the Swamp Thing." I told her politely, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but we're all out of the ingredients necessary to make the Swamp Thing." Well, by the way she looked at me, you would have thought that I told her she had some terrible disease. She was insulted. She was offended. She felt dejected. She looked at me with such disappointment and sadness in her eyes and said, "I have been waiting for a month to come to this restaurant and have the Swamp Thing for my birthday. And you mean to tell me that I can't have the one thing I want for my birthday?" I apologized profusely and tried to offer her something else to drink, but no matter how I tried, she was still disappointed. The rest of the night, I would come and check in and how everyone was doing, and I saw that most of the people there were laughing and having a good time and celebrating, but the person whose birthday it was disappointed, still felt sad, all because she couldn't have her Swamp Thing. It seems kind of silly to us that someone's birthday might be ruined by a drink, but Some of us have certain things in our life that unless this thing is exactly the way I want it, exactly how I want it, I refuse to be happy. And you see, if we live our lives that way, more often than not, we're going to be unhappy. Because life rarely goes according to plan. Life rarely has circumstances that are completely the way that we want them. Often, more things are wrong than there are right. But our scripture reading today offers us an alternative, offers us another way of seeing and living life, that we can have happiness, we can have peace, regardless of the circumstances. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians. And the book of 1 Thessalonians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the community of Thessalonica, which is a city in Greece. And the Apostle Paul had written this letter as an encouragement. You see, he had started a church there, and he sent some of his followers to go and check in and see how the church was going. He was very encouraged to hear that they were worshiping and living faithfully. And so Paul writes this letter, 1 Thessalonians, to this community as a way of encouraging them, a way of saying, great job, keep up what you're doing, and then offering them a few pieces of advice. And one of the pieces of advice that he offers them is this. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. Now rejoice, of course, means to have joy or be happy. And if we break down this scripture reading, we see that it is almost impossible to follow if we are a person of conditional happiness. I mean, first the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always. Be happy always. Well, that's not possible if we're people of conditional happiness. And then he says, give thanks in every circumstance. Well, circumstances are rarely the way that we want them, so why would we give thanks? But you see, this is only true if we practice conditional happiness. But if we practice the type of joy, the type of happiness that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that the Bible as a whole is talking about, we realize that true joy and true peace is possible regardless of the situation we find ourselves in. The first suggestion in this scripture reading is that we are called to give thanks in every circumstance. Now the wording of this advice is very important. Notice, the Apostle Paul does not say, give thanks for every circumstance. You see, there are some things in our life, some things in our world, that are just bad, that are just terrible, that are just downright wrong, or evil, or tragic. The Apostle Paul is not saying that we should give thanks for those things. But what he is saying is that if we want to always rejoice, that if we always want to be happy and have peace, that we have to give thanks. See, I've spent a lot of time studying what it means to be happy, what happy people have that other people don't, how we can get more happiness. And the only way I know that we can start growing happiness right now, today, and every single day in our life is through gratitude. It's been said, and I believe it's true, that it's impossible for a grateful person to be unhappy. You see, gratitude fills your heart with joy. Gratitude fills your heart with peace because you're not looking at what you don't have, but you're looking at what you do have. And no matter how bad life is, there is always some good there. There is always some blessings that you can give thanks to God for, that you can appreciate. I mentioned that woman earlier that was upset, that had her birthday ruined because she couldn't get the swamp thing. But what she could have done is she could have looked around and said, you know what? I'm not able to order my favorite drink. But there's a lot I can be happy about. I'm getting a wonderful meal paid for by my friends and family. We have gifts and cake, and I'm another year older. I have another year to give thanks to God for and appreciate. You see, she had a choice, like we all have a choice, that we can look at the things that we don't have, or we can look at the things that we do have. See, the Apostle Paul says, give thanks in every circumstance, because there are always things that we can give thanks for. No matter how bad life gets, there is always some good. And if we want to be happier, the way that we do that is not by trying to get control of our circumstances, not by trying to get more and more things to go in our favor, but it's about having more and more gratitude, being grateful for more and more stuff. But the thing that we should be grateful above all for, the thing that we should give thanks to God above everything, is for Jesus Christ. See, the greatest thing that we receive in this season of giving and receiving is the thing that has already been given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ loves us so much that He died for us, that He forgave us of our sins, and that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how many hardships we experience, or people that we care about experience, what awaits for us is not worth comparing to whatever suffering we're experiencing now. The heaven will be so wonderful, so great, that it will overwhelm all our sadness, all our fear, all our disappointment. The greatest thing that we have is the love of God found in Jesus Christ. And if we give thanks for that above all things, we give thanks to God for something that cannot be taken away from us. Recently, we were having some construction done at our church here, and we needed to have a post put in. And I learned a term that I was not previously familiar with because I'm not in the field of construction. The term was this, that the post needed to be, I should say the footing for the post needed to be put below frost level. You see, obviously what that means is that when you put the footing of something, the base of something that is important on a structure, you want it to put it below the frost level. Meaning that even if it gets very, very cold in the winter, the frost, the freezing, won't touch that portion of the ground. The reason I bring that up is because being grateful for Christ, thanking God for simply loving us, is like putting our happiness below frost level. You see, there are many things in our life that can be taken away from us. There are many things that we can attach our happiness to that can be ripped away from us. But the one thing that can never be taken away from us is Jesus Christ. And so if we're grateful for Christ, if we find our happiness, our joy in Christ, we put our faith, we put our happiness, we put our peace below frost level. You see, if our happiness is in Christ, no one can take our happiness because no one can take our Christ. Once we realize this, once we begin to practice a faith based on gratitude, once we begin to have our joy coming not from getting control over our circumstances, but having our joy and peace coming from all the good that God is doing in our life and our world, what we are then called to do is have that happiness be shared with others. You see, a truly joyous person, a person who has true joy and true peace, does not hold that on for themselves. A person who is truly happy is generous because they realize that they have more than they need. So they're willing to give things to other people. A person who's truly happy is also forgiven because they realize that God has forgiven them in Jesus Christ first, and so they can forgive others as well. Yes, there is a lot that is challenging us and our world and our country today. No doubt about it. Not all of our circumstances are favorable or ideal or good. But as the Apostle Paul reminds us, we can still give thanks to God even in the midst of these difficult circumstances because there is some good. And the best thing of all, the person of Jesus Christ is the thing that we can give thanks for in every situation. Knowing His love is something that can never be taken away from us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give You thanks for this opportunity to remember that if we want true joy, if we want happiness in every circumstance, first and foremost, we have to practice gratitude. We have to be grateful. Help us be grateful every single day of our lives for many things, but for above all, Your love found in Jesus Christ. Amen.